Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. Cars have changed a lot in the past few decades, but a big part of today's supercharged vehicle remains surprisingly familiar, the dashboard. Yeah, sure, they look a little slicker, but modern dashboards still feature the same basic stuff. There's a speedometer, a gas gauge, a volume knob, and so on. But what if our dashboards were radically redesigned? Us2 is a digital studio best known for creating the best-selling Monument Valley, an Escher-esque puzzle game that won Apple's iPad Game of the Year in 2014, but they're also interested in reimagining the car dashboard. Their recent ebook called Are We There Yet? Thoughts on In-Car HMI is available for free online, and I'm joined now by two of the authors. First, Harsha Vardhan, who specializes in interaction and service design at Us2. And Harsha, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello, Taylor.
And also with us is Us2's Tim Smith, who specializes in visual design and user interfaces. Hi, Tim. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for having me.
So, Tim, I want to start with you and one of your complaints, actually. Okay. You say a lot of modern in-car interfaces are, generally speaking, unapproachable. And I'm wondering, what do you mean by that, and why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a few different kind of visual cues immediately that kind of stick out like a sore thumb, and that's the kind of the dark, what we call Tron-like nature of these HMIs. By that, I mean their kind of neon blue aesthetics on a dark background, often with these metallic textures. And that kind of denotes qualities of kind of masculinity and, you know, almost sci-fi futuristic, which I think fundamentally are quite daunting and unfriendly, cold emotions that this a piece of interactive is giving off. And that's the opposite of what we like to do as to. It's supposed to be very approachable, friendly, and by making them those two things, it becomes much more usable and intuitive.
I was really struck by something that you put in the book, that automakers use the sort of stick a touch screen on it strategy when it comes to the instrument panels and dashboards, which, you know, I guess it's cool, but at the same time, maybe it's not enough.
It's one of the first steps, I think, at putting a screen into a car. You assume, you know, it's this touchscreen is working well for tablets and smartphones. Let's just port that into the car. That would be a very obvious solution. But I think that's not considering the context. It's easy to port something that's successfully working in a smartphone. You put it into a new context of the car and things don't quite work. You're driving 50 miles an hour along a motorway, you can't be doing certain things which require too much cognitive load, whereas if you're, you know, walking down the street at your leisurely pace, you know, looking for the nearest restaurant, that's something which you can, you know, devote more what we call cognitive load or attention to, whereas you want the driver's eyes and attention on the road, you know, 100% if you can. And so this slap a touch screen on it is really just a quiet distraction.
Yeah, this is really an issue of safety. You know, we have so much information that we sort of want to pack in our cars, and once you put all of that in there, it can be a little dangerous for a driver who's not sure where to look.
Cars, car manufacturers are kind of, they're one-upping each other, something that we call featureitis, cramming in more and more features into this HMI in order to, you know, make sure that their feature list is as rich or as compelling to a customer, whereas it's, you know, actually in the car, that just gets more and more destructive and you know, potentially less safe.
And HMI stands for human-machine interface, for listeners who don't know. You know, in the book, there's a great side-by-side shot comparing the instrument panel of a 1970 Mercedes SL against a 2013 car of the same make and model. Harsha, I've got to say, just looking at it, sort of made me think that there was a certain simplicity in the older version that looked really appealing. And I wonder if that's something that you thought of when you were writing this book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a classic example of featureitis. It works very well for airline pilots. It works very well for medical personnel who need to have this, you know, fine-grained control over every bit of the car. But when it comes to a normal user or a normal driver or a normal passenger, I mean, it's not needed. And what is needed is, you know, a focus on the road and as little distraction as possible. You know, so we need to balance out, you know, which features are most important versus putting everything up on there.
I'm talking about the design of the dashboard and the instrument panel with two designers, Tim Smith and Harsha Vardham, both from a company called Us2, creators of the video game Monument Valley. And Tim and Harsha are two of several authors on Us2's new ebook called Are We There Yet? Thoughts on In-Car HMI. Tim, I want to talk about sort of the look specifically of some of these instruments. And the look of the speedometer fascinates me. It's always been pretty much the same. You've got a round gauge with a needle that, you know, pushes clockwise the faster you go. It was, you know, it served a very specific purpose once upon a time. Can you tell me a little bit about that and then how it might look if we were to free ourselves from this legacy concept of what it's supposed to look like?
So as far as we're aware, it comes from like a mechanical legacy. So there was a cable connecting the engine to a cable connecting the engine to the needle, and it was effectively pulling on it, depending on the level of force you applied to it. But throughout the process of writing the book, we did ask ourselves, you know, if you were to forget the past, forget the legacy of the car, if the car was invented now and we had to have something in the dash that represented how fast you were going, would a needle pointing at a number in an array, a circular array, would that be the way we design it? I'm not 100% convinced that that is the case. What we decided to do, rather than have a kind of a permanent 0 to 200, for example, what we could do instead is just plot your speed against what the speed limit is on the current road that you're driving. And one way we imagined that was kind of a screen that's filled with color. If there was no color, you're going 0 miles an hour. If the screen was filled with a piece of color, like a bar chart, then you're at the top of the speed limit and anywhere in between. One of our philosophies was insight, not information. And with this mechanic, it will just tell you at a glance you are near or over the speed limit.
Harsha, you know, as I was reading this book, I couldn't help but think about, you know, the future of the car maybe being a car that drives itself, that we don't have to worry so much about the instrument panel distracting us. And I was thinking especially about something like voice commands. You know, do you think that down the road, maybe we'd be able to do away with all of these dashboard and instrument conventions and just rely on something like iPhone Siri to do voice commands when we want to change something or we want to do something differently on the road?
Yeah, it might. But the problem is in things like voice, you know, it's not perfect. And there are some, you know, critical challenges with voice. Because there's something called the orientation response, which people face in cars nowadays, where you're driving along and when your car responds or your dashboard responds saying, okay, so where do you want to go? And you speak to it. You don't speak to it in ether, but you actually turn towards the HMI as it was a person. And this is a kind of a social construct where we turn our heads and actually try to listen and actually try to respond to something and actually try to speak to the interface.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that a voice command and sometimes maybe is just as distracting as actually, you know, looking down and manually finding something on your phone?
Not really. I mean, so a voice command is good for, you know, switching things on and off, for instance. But it does not have the same kind of control when you have analog inputs, like, say, increase the volume to 60%. And if you have a knob for that, it's much easier because it's just muscle memory. You don't even need to look. You need to just get there and turn it by your hand. So it has to be a balance between both physical and non-physical controls.
So what's the end game for an ebook like this? Are you hoping to inspire automakers to maybe do something differently, you know, innovate on the dashboard, or is it to actually be able to do it yourselves to sort of, you know, prove that you've got what it takes?
It's both. It's a bit of both. And essentially, it's about, you know, actually inspiring the automotive field to think beyond what they've actually been doing as part of a convention, as part of legacy, and it's not just the automakers; it's to inspire other designers to actually question the status quo, and giving them the tools to do so.
Tim Smith, Harsha Vardham, designers at Us2. There's a link to their ebook on in-car HMI and a trailer for the video game Monument Valley. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. And Tim and Harsha, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Taylor. It was nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for having me.